Jesus, my prayer this morning is that each of us would find You here. Lord, that You would speak to each and every one of us this morning. That, Father, I believe that You have a message for every person in this room. Lord, I pray for a special anointing this morning. We would be willing to open up our hearts, our minds, and allow You in, Lord. May Thy will be done now in this service, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The title of the message today is Father, Forgive Them. And that verse we're going to be reading in just a moment in Luke chapter 23. We're going to begin in verse 32. But for a few weeks, that verse has just kept coming to my mind. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so let's just jump right in. Luke 23, verse 32. Two men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was written notice above him, which read, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. As I'm reading that and thinking about that, and I think about the insults, the what all he went through, the mocking, the making fun, and yet he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This week, I had a little confrontation with a guy, complete stranger, and he was very, very mean, very ugly to me, and it really bothered me. I just took it. But I thought about it, and I got home that night, and it's not that I'm some big bad guy. I don't like confrontation, you know. But I thought about it, and I told Crystal when I got home, I said, I don't think people realize how much I hold back. And there got some coworkers that I would really just like to let them have it, you know. I've got some people that I'd like to give them a piece of my mind. And I said, I don't think people realize just how much I hold back. And that guy that I had the little confrontation with, it's like what I really wanted to do was deck him. Who are you to treat me like this? Who are you to act like this? But I held back. So why did I hold back? Well, James 1, 19 and 20 says, My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. My anger is not going to bring about the righteous life that God desires. And then Proverbs 29, 11, and this verse has been with me for years. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. We talked about self-control, and we all need that. As I read about Jesus and how they mocked him, they beat him, they spit on him, and he would have been justified in his anger call the legions of angels down to protect him. But what did Jesus do? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And before you guys start getting too hard on me, as I told Crystal, I said, I don't think people realize how much I hold back. And then I said, but you know what? I long for the day that I don't have to hold back, because all that's in me is Jesus Christ's love. That there's not even anything to hold back, that I can see people the way Jesus seen people, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They're so lost, they're so blind, they don't even know what they're doing. And so there's still something inside of me, not every time, but sometimes, that I have to hold back. And when I want to just let people have it, maybe it's not, and with you guys, maybe it's not a confrontation with a customer or someone on the street or a coworker. Maybe it's on Facebook that something's being said, or you know, even in your family or something, and you have to hold back. But wouldn't it be wonderful to get to the point to where there's not that anger, there's not that rah to hold back, but there's just, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I long for that day when I can be at that place and have that love and have that forgiveness for others. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And see, that's really where we need to get and understand, is to forgive others the way God has forgiven us. When I think back about all that I've done to others, but really all that I've done to my Heavenly Father, and I think what's been done to me doesn't even compare to what I've done to others, what I've done to people. I want to go back to Matthew 18, verse 21. This is familiar text. Peter's asking, how many times do I forgive? And Matthew 18, verse 21, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? You know, you think about in your life and you think, well, yeah, if someone keeps messing with me, someone keeps hurting me, someone keeps wronging me, I think seven times is pretty good. I might even only make it to five or six, and then I'm ready to cut them out of my life. And Peter's probably thinking to himself, well, I'm doing pretty good if I'm willing to forgive somebody seven times. But verse 22, Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, is Jesus putting a cap? Okay, you can go up to 77 times. No, his point is, you continue to forgive them. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Can I tell you something? That's you and me this morning. If we've asked Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins, he has forgiven us a debt that we can't repay. Something that we could not pay for, but that's how much Jesus loves us. That's how what the cross was all about. That's why when he's hanging there, he can say, Father, forgive them, because he had you and me in his thoughts at that moment. That's us this morning, a debt that we couldn't repay, but he had pity on him. Verse 28, but when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back what he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers from your heart. You might be saying this morning, Pete, but you don't understand how bad I was hurt. You don't understand the abuse that I endured. You don't understand what that person done to me. They humiliated me. You don't understand how they mocked me, how they ridiculed me. You don't understand how they laughed at me. You don't understand how they cheated me. You don't understand what they took from me. I don't understand. You're right. But God does. God can relate. And yet what did He say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Y'all, maybe some of you have got a deep, deep hurt. And you know what I'm talking about when I say holding back? I'm talking about just stupid stuff. You know, people making me mad, people being rude, people being, you know, I'm not talking about a deep hurt. And boy, don't you think I can get past that? It's just superficial. And some of you, it may not be just a superficial, they're making fun of me, they don't invite me to lunch, they, you know, maybe it's something deeper, maybe it's some abuse, maybe it's some hurt, maybe it's some betrayal. But y'all, we have to get to the point that we can truly forgive those around us. In Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, He says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." See, when we read that about the debt that was forgiven for the man, a debt that he couldn't repay, but then he's unwilling to forgive others. Y'all, the debt that Jesus Christ has forgiven us is a debt that we could not repay. So why are we so reluctant to forgive others, to show that love, to show that compassion, to show them that we truly, as we read, forgiven them from the heart? I want to jump over to Romans chapter 12. And I feel like, and I used to always go back, and every once in a while I still will, but I used to always go back to see if I preached a verse or preached a certain verses recently, and I wouldn't preach them. But then I got convicted about that, and I thought, well, Lord, if you're leading it, then who am I to not preach something? And I felt like in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, we read these verses a while back, but I think it was in a different context. And I was just going to read the end, but all of it, beginning in verse 9 is so good, I thought, well, I'm just going to read it again. So Romans 12:9 says, "Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful to prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality." That's so wonderful. That's so good. And we all need to be doing that. But then verse 14 is where it more pertains to the message, okay? "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." You know what that means? That means when someone persecutes you, when someone's being mean to you, when someone's being ugly, you don't go tell everybody. Right? You don't go, can you believe that they did this? Can you believe that they did that? Can you, you know, and then you get everybody on your side. That's not how we're supposed to be. Bless those and do not curse. Verse 15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." Verse 17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody." Have you ever repaid somebody evil for evil? I have. And then it come back and made me look worse. And then you're like, but wait a minute. They're the ones that started it. They're the ones that... But then you look like the jerk. You look like the bad guy. But that's not how we're to be as Christians. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know how we're going to live at peace with people? It's by forgiving them, just as we've been forgiven. Verse 19 says, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." In the men's meeting a few Wednesday nights ago, that was the verse that Kyle shared. And y'all, we have to learn that we can overcome evil But it's by overcoming it with good, not evil for evil, not repaying for getting them back, and leave room for God. Do you not think God can handle things way better than we can handle it? And we don't, and I also want you to understand, have you wronged people before? And do you want to get paid back for what you've done? I want forgiveness. I don't want to get repaid back for all the evil that I've done. I want God's mercy, God's grace in my life. And so why would we not want that for those around us? Why would we not want that for them? And then you can go back to, but they've hurt me. They're so mean. They're so... But you know what? I want mercy. I want God's grace in my life. I want to overcome evil by good, not evil for evil. I don't want to repay. And y'all, that's where all of us need to get. In the times that we're living in, man, you just bring up politics to somebody and the fight can begin real quick. Either the fight can begin because you're at odds, or the gripe session can begin because you're on the same team and you're mad at the other team, right? And there's so much division, there's so much anger going on with that. Can we not pray and leave it in God's hands? Do what God tells us to do, but not be ready to repay evil for evil. And as I was reading this, and I was reminded of a story about Elijah. And I want to go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. You guys, I've kept you late the last several weeks, and I think we're going to get out early this week. So y'all's going to be happy. 2 Kings chapter 6. And I was trying to decide if I wanted to summarize this and start in the middle, but since we got plenty of time, we're going to start at the kind of the beginning of the story here. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. And you want to talk about an example of repaying good for the evil that's coming at you. Elijah, this is a beautiful example of how we should be also. Now, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the army, Arameans, are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elijah warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. So basically, Elijah would tell the king of Israel, "Don't go there. They've got a trap sent. Don't go there. They're about to attack you there." Verse 11, this enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord, the king," said one of his officers, "but Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." How awesome is that, that Elijah knew exactly what the king was going to do because God had showed him. So verse 13, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. That's familiar. We usually read that, right? Because it talks about spiritual warfare. It talks about God being on our side. And those that was on Elijah's team was way more. And the servant all at once could see all the horses and chariots of fire surrounding them. And that's usually, I've preached on that before. That's amazing. But look and see what happens, okay? Because we normally don't go any further than this. Verse 18, as the enemy came down towards him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. Elijah told them, "This is not the road. and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elijah, shall I kill them? My father, shall I kill them? So you see what happens. Elijah prayed. The whole army that had surrounded them were blind, and he leads them into the city. And then all at once, what? They're surrounded. And then the king of Israel's like, okay, we can kill them now. Huh? We've got them surrounded. They were trying to kill us. They keep attacking us. But verse 22, do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill men you have captured? Would you own with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away. And they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. They could have killed him just like that. And I think it's interesting that they didn't just feed him a bologna sandwich, did they? What did it say? It said that they prepared for them a great feast. A great feast. Church, how many of you this morning would prepare a great feast for your worst enemy? For that person that's a jerk to you, that person that talks bad about you, that person that slams you on Facebook, the person that mocks you for being a Christian, that person that makes fun of you for praying over your lunch at work, that person that calls you intolerant, and that person that whatever. How many of you would say, hey, let me bring you lunch tomorrow, and what's your favorite dish? What's your favorite meal? We wouldn't, most of us. But how awesome would it be if we would? How awesome would it be if we would overcome their evil with our kindness, with our good? How awesome would it be that we could truly begin to forgive people from our heart? Forgive as the Father has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So maybe this message is just for me this morning, because just when I think I'm doing good, I find out there's stuff inside of me that I still need to work on. And just like that confrontation I had this week, and I just wanted to let him have it, and I held back. But even though I held back, it was still inside of me. It was still burning. It was stirring. Y'all, we got to get rid of that. Some of you got deep hurts. You got deep pains where people have hurt you, where people, it may have been your best friends betrayed you. It may have been a husband. It may have been a wife. I don't know. It may have been a parent. Somebody has hurt you. We have to learn to forgive them. We have to learn to let it go if we want to be forgiven. Because I just want you to understand all that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of. And maybe this morning you say, Pete, I don't understand. I still feel so much condemnation. I still feel like, how could God forgive me? I felt that way. God, how could you forgive me? And after I've become a Christian and I've blown it and I've rebelled and I've got to cry out and I've got to ask God to forgive me again. And sometimes I'll think, God, are you through with me? And I'll feel such grief over my sins. But you know what verse brings me comfort? Is when Peter asked Jesus, shall I forgive 7 times? And he said, no. 70 times. And I think, you know what? If Jesus is telling us that, then He's no different. And Jesus will forgive you this morning if you'll cry out to Him, if you'll ask Him. So maybe you need forgiveness this morning. Ask Jesus. Maybe you need to forgive others. Ask Jesus to help you. But let's become the men and women of God that God's called us to be and get to the point where that desire for revenge, that desire to even repay evil for evil is gone, and we can be like our Heavenly Father and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning, and I thank You for all that You're doing in the lives of this congregation. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would be so different in our jobs and our homes. Father, that people would know that we are Your children by the love that we show, by the kindness that we show. Lord, by the way that we don't fight back and strike back evil for evil. Father, there's some here this morning, I believe, that need to let go of some stuff. And Lord, I don't understand the hurt. I don't understand the pain that they might be going through. But Father, I know that You do. And I pray right now that Your Holy Spirit would just come inside of each one of us, and that we may truly be able to forgive from the heart through Your power, through Your strength, through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's anything inside of any one of us this morning, may You bring it to mind, something that we're holding on to, something that we have not let go of, and that we would offer up, Lord, that to You and that forgiveness to them. Father, have Your way now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad
I've told you all this story before, but there was a guy one time, me and Crystal was eating at Taco Bell, and we'd went to school with him, and I hadn't seen him in a few years or maybe longer, and he gave me the discount, like employee discount, and I was like, man, thanks and everything. And then we sat down, and I think actually Crystal was probably pregnant with Madeline. That's how long ago it's been. And we're eating our food, and I said, you know, and y'all, I wasn't in that many fights. I can count on one hand how many fights I was in my whole life, you know. But my senior year, I'd gotten a fight with the kid, and I won't say too much more about it, but it wasn't much of a fight. But I told Chris, I said, why did I hit him and knock him down? And I couldn't remember, and I'm sitting there laughing, and then she told me, she said, don't you remember? And man, the anger, whoosh, rushed back. And I remembered why I didn't like the guy, and I remembered what he'd done, or what I thought he'd done. And I was sitting there, I said, I wish I wouldn't have took his stupid discount. And I was mad all over again. Y'all, that's what I'm talking about. There's things inside of us sometimes that'll come rushing back when we see somebody. And we need to ask God to help us. And you know, I'm proud to say, I seen that man a few years ago, and I invited him to church. I have no ill will towards him at all anymore. And we talked. I don't hold nothing against him, and I wish he'd come to church today, y'all. But that's only by God changing me. It's not Pete. It's God changing me. And y'all, if there's something inside of you, you need to get rid of it, because we don't know when our time's up. We don't know when we're going to be facing Jesus and we have to give an account. And you might say, oh, this person's hurt me. This person's done that. But y'all, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus can help us forgive those around us. Let's not repay evil for evil anymore, but let's forgive. I hope you guys can make it back tonight. It's just going to be a singing and communion. We'll start at 6. And if you can't, that's okay. I understand. But I hope you can be here. And if anybody would like to attend the elders' meeting, the whole church are more than welcome. If the whole church wants to attend, we'll just stay up here, but we'll go back to the office if anybody would like, and we'll just go over what we did last year and kind of talk about what we planned for this new year. And so y'all have a blessed afternoon.